Title: Multi-Effect Racks for Jungle Fills Advanced. Alright, let's build something that makes jungle and drum and bass fills feel like controlled chaos instead of random FX spaghetti. Because the best jungle fills aren't just more drums, they're these weaponized little moments where the break suddenly stutters, gates, pitch dives, throws into dubby space and then snaps back onto the one like nothing happened. That's the real skill. You can go wild, but you always return clean. In this lesson, we're building one master jungle fill rack in Ableton Live. It's a multi-effect rack with multiple parallel chains, mapped macros, and a workflow that's designed for performance, automation, and resampling. So instead of spending an hour designing a one-off fill, you'll have a system you can throw onto any break or drum group and get instant, repeatable fill energy. First, the core concept. We're going to treat fills like an instrument, not like a random pile of devices. That means one rack, multiple modes using chains, macros that feel playable, and a workflow where you can either automate it in arrangement view or trigger it with dummy clips in session view. Now, before we even build the rack, we need the cleanest routing, because routing is what makes this feel professional. Option 1 is the recommended method, a fill return track workflow. Create a return track and name it FillFX. Then from your break bus, or your drum group, you'll send audio to that return only during fill moments. And here's the key, keep that return set to 100% wet processing. No dry signal on the return. The dry stays in your main drum bus, and the return is purely the fill layer you throw in and then kill on the downbeat. Why this is so elite is, because you can go totally insane on the return without destroying your main drums. And it makes resampling ridiculously easy, because the fill is already separated. Quick coach note before we continue, put a utility before the rack on the return. This is your input trim. Different breaks hit at wildly different levels, and if you want your gate and beat repeat to respond consistently, you need consistent input. Aim for roughly -12 to -6 dB peaks hitting the rack, not the master. Hitting the rack. Cool. Now let's build the rack skeleton. On the FillFX return, drop an audio effect rack. Open the chain list. We're making 4 chains. Chain A, clean tight. Chain B, stutter chop. Chain C, dub smash. Chain D, pitch chaos. And on every chain, put a utility at the very start. This is per chain gain staging, because different chains will feel louder even with the same input. Then at the very end of the entire rack, put a limiter as a safety. Set the ceiling to -0.3 dB. Keep look ahead default unless your hearing clicks. Now let's build chain A, clean tight. This is the I want the fill to feel more urgent and controlled, but not weird chain. First device, gate. Start threshold around -22 dB. But adjust for your break. Return around 100 to 150 milliseconds. Floor all the way down, so it's a hard chop. Side chain off. We're shaping the loop itself. Then add saturator. Mode. Analog clip. Drive 2 to 5 dB. Soft clip on. Then auto filter. High pass 12 dB. Frequency around 120 Hz as a starting point. Resonance around 0.70, and try not to make it whistle. So chain A is basically, tighten the tail, add density, clean the low end a touch. This one is perfect for subtle micro fills where you don't want the listener to go, oh, here comes the fill. You just want motion. Chain B, stutter chop. This is the classic jungle computer gun chain. First device, beat repeat. Interval, 1 bar, so it grabs periodically. Grid, start at 1/16. Variation, keep it low, like 0 to 20%. Chance at 100%. Because we'll control when this happens via chain selection and send automation. Gate, somewhere between 1/16 and 1/8 for jungle tightness. Pitch at 0 for now. Mix anywhere from 30 to 60% unless you're relying purely on the return as the wet layer. Then you can go more extreme. After beat repeat, put another gate. This is the secret sauce for that extra chopped up articulation. Threshold somewhere between -28 and -18. Return 60 to 120 milliseconds. Then auto filter. Band pass 12 dB. Frequency around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz. Resonance 1.0 to 1.4. This makes the stutter sit on top of your main drums instead of fighting the kick and sub. Coach note, if you're getting little clicks and ticks when it chops, don't panic. That's normal with hard amplitude jumps. A really practical fix is putting a super gentle glue compressor before beat repeat in this chain. Not for loudness, just to smooth discontinuities. Or, if you want to be extra safe, put a limiter per chain with a touch more look ahead. You're basically doing click control, not mix bus limiting. Chain C, dub smash. This is the delay throw chain. Jungle loves that dub heritage, but we're keeping it modern and controlled. First, echo time. Dotted 8th is money, so 1/8D, or use 1/4 for bigger throws. Feedback, 35-70% to start, but we're mapping it. Character, noise 5-15%, wobble 2-6%. Now the critical part, the filter inside echo. High pass around 250 Hz, low pass around 6-9 kHz, dry/wet around 25-50% as a starting point. Then saturator, drive 4-8 dB, soft clip-on. Then redux, but lightly. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5x. Bit reduction around 7 to 10. This is edge, not destruction unless you want that full-on splintered fill vibe. Big warning that saves mixes. Dub delay plus reverb plus low end equals instant mod. So do not trust yourself. Build the rack so it's physically hard to ruin the sub. A really pro move is adding an auto filter high pass early in every wet chain, not just relying on Echo's filter. Even better, map all those HP cutoffs to one macro behind the scenes. You don't even need to expose it. Just make the rack self-high pass so fills never eat the drop weight. Chain D. Pitch chaos. This is the end of phrase meltdown, and we're doing it stock friendly. Put frequency shifter first. Rain mod off. Use frequency shift mode. Fine at 0 to start. Dry/wet 100% in this chain. We'll macro the frequency parameter for dive bombs. Then reverb, quality high if your CPU can take it. Decay 0.8 to 1.8 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Low cut 250 to 400 Hz. High cut 6 to 10 kHz. Then auto filter after the chaos. Low pass 24 dB. Frequency somewhere between 4 and 10 kHz depending how harsh it gets. And if you want, push filter drive 2 to 6 dB. Filter drive is underrated for jungle aggression. Quick musicality tip. Frequency shifter isn't true pitch, and that's actually why it's so sick for jungle. It gets metallic and unstable, but if you want it to feel intentional in key, you can add a subtle corpus or resonator after it and tune it to your track's root or fifth. Keep it very low in the mix. It anchors the madness. Now we map macros. This is where the rack becomes playable. Open macro map mode. Macro 1. Fill on. This is your main performance control. Map the chain selector so you can sweep through a 2D, and do this properly. Give each chain a wide selector zone and leave little gaps between zones. These are dead zones. That way, when you automate or twist a knob, you don't accidentally graze another chain and get a sudden tone jump mid-fill. Set it up so alive's in 0 to 31, B is 32 to 63, C is 64 to 95, D is 96 to 127. Then also map a utility gain for a small engagement boost if you want. Like 0 dB up to plus 3 dB. Careful, this is where people blow up their limiter. Macro 2. Stutter rate. Map beat repeat grid in chain B. Range 1/32 to 1/8. Optionally map beat repeat gate 2, so faster grids can have tighter gates. Macro 3. Gate tightness. Map gate return on chains A and B, maybe 40 ms to 160 ms. Optionally map the thresholds a tiny bit, like minus 30 to minus 18. Small range. You don't want the gate to suddenly disappear. Macro 4. Dub throw. Map echo feedback, 25% to 80%. Map echo dry/wet, 15% to 55%. And cap it. Above 80% feedback gets messy fast unless you're printing and editing on purpose. Macro 5. Crunch. Map saturator drive in chains A and C, like 2 to 9 dB. Map redux downsample in chain C, like 1.0x to 3.0x. Macro 6. Pitch drop. Map frequency shifter frequency in chain D from 0 down to minus 400 Hz. Optional. Map the post filter low pass from 10 kHz down to 4 kHz so the dive gets darker as it drops. That makes it feel more like tape stop energy. Macro 7. Space. Map reverb decay from 0.7 to 2.8 seconds. Map reverb dry/wet from 10% to 35%. Don't wash the groove. Base is seasoning, not soup. Macro 8. Output trim. Map a final utility or rack volume from minus 6 dB to 0 dB. This is your safety dial for when the fill gets excited. One more discipline tip that's very jungle. Keep fills mostly centered. If you want width, widen only the top end. You can put a utility at the end with base mono engaged, or use a Q8 in mid/side to mono everything below, say, 150 to 250 Hz. Big fills feel huge when the fizz is wide but the punch stays locked in the middle. Now, how do we actually use this in an arrangement? Here are a few placements that feel authentic in rolling DNB. Classic 2-bar turnaround every 16 bars. In bar 15, bring in chain A, just to tighten and add urgency. In bar 16, switch to chain B for the last half bar with 1/16 stutters. Final beat, hit chain D and do a pitch drop, then hard cut the send back to zero so the downbeat is clean. Pre-drop tension in the last four beats. Automate the send up over two beats. Use chain C and ride feedback upward. Then do one beat of chain B at 1/32 for that sudden density spike. Then kill the return on the downbeat. Make it snap back. Micro fills inside a rolling break every four bars. Keep the send low, like -18 to -12 dB. Use only chain A. Adjust gate tightness slightly. This gives movement without screaming fill. Arrangement upgrade that instantly makes you sound more musical. Call and response. Instead of one huge fill, do a small question in bar 15, like a tight chop. Then an answer in bar 16, like a dub throw or pitch move. That phrasing is straight out of classic jungle storytelling. And here's one of my favorite tricks. Negative space right before the one. Mute the return for a tiny moment, like a 1/16 or 1/8 right before the drop. That silence makes the downbeat feel bigger than any distortion ever will. Now the advanced workflow, resampling. This is where impossible fills come from. Create an audio track called Fill Print. Set its input to resampling, or directly from the fill effects return. Arm it, and record while you jam macros or while your automation plays back. Then slice out the best half-bar moments and place them before transitions. Add short fades, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, to kill clicks. This is the real pro move. Once it's audio, you can edit like a surgeon. You can cut out the ugly parts and keep the magic. Let's talk common mistakes so you don't fall into the usual traps. Number 1. Overfilling the low end. If your fills are making your drop feel weak, it's almost always low end wash from delay and reverb. High pass the wet signal. Make it automatic. Number 2. No limiter safety. Feedback spikes happen fast. You need that limiter at the end, and sometimes per chain if you're going wild. Number 3. Random stutter timing. Too much variation and chance makes it sloppy. Jungle fills often feel chaotic, but they're usually surgical chaos. Number 4. Automation that doesn't return to zero. If your send stays up even a little bit, your drop loses impact. Always snap back on the one. Now a mini practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 16-bar loop at 170 to 175 BPM. Rolling break, sub-bass pattern, whatever your vibe is. Put the rack on the fill effects return. Create three fill moments. Bar 4, 1 beat. Chain B. Grid 1/32. Gate tight. Bar 8, 2 beats. Chain C. Feedback rising. Mild crunch. Bar 16. Full bar turnaround. Move it to B to D across the bar. Pitch drop on the last beat. This audio version is shortened for playback.